It's time for the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. Tonight's show is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Nix Industrial, Expressway Chevrolet, GAF, Billy Sparkle and Shine, JT's Hardware, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, J.L. Hirsch & Company, Rugged Armor Linings, and Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance.
Welcome into the North Posey Vikings Coaches Show, live from North Posey High School with Head Coach Waylon Schenk. I'm Jordan Fisher, and Coach, we now enter into Week 4. Your team finds themselves at 2-1 after a bit of a tough loss at North Knox. There was some controversy at the end of each half, but I also know you as a coaching staff and you as a head coach. I know there's plenty of plays in between that you could have, you know, taken a little bit more advantage of to make sure you secure that win. But overall, it was a good offensive night, and it just felt like at the end of the game, kind of hit a little bit of a lull at the wrong time.
Yeah, for sure. We didn't finish. And, you know, that's kind of the message. You know, I had a lot of people ask me about different calls and different explanations that happened in the halves. And at the end of the day, if we make the plays that we know we should have made, the end of the halves don't matter at that point. And I think we put up 435 yards of total offense and only managed to score 24 points, which is really hard to do, especially when we only turned the ball over one time. But we just didn't finish drives. And, you know, we finished – you know, one of the drives ended up a field goal. You know, we fumbled on a drive that we were going in. You know, we didn't do a good job of finishing things, and that's kind of our message this week. We got to finish if we want to continue to win games, and we have a huge conference game coming up this week. And, you know, fortunately for us, the conference championship is right out in front of us for the taking, and it's gonna come down to us finishing in all aspects of the game for us to make sure we continue to put ourselves in the driver's seat there.
Of course, you've got a big game looming against Tell City on Friday night, which is what you're alluding to. But Carter Schickler, I want to go back to the offense. 272 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was under a pressure a little bit this past Friday night. How did you think he handled playing on the road in that environment?
You know, I think he started 9 for 10. I had him for 295 on the night. But, you know, he came out on fire. We tried to script some things to get his confidence going early. I think his first pass was an incompletion, a little bubble pass that we tried to cut it in, and we missed him. He had to try to throw it around him, so it threw it behind the guy. But after that, he completed 9 straight and was in a good rhythm, had his guys back and had some guys practice this week that hadn't in the past. And I was really pleased with how he played. And, you know, there's always going to be throws you want back as a quarterback, and I'm sure Carr can go back and point to some of those things. But at the end of the day, he had a pretty good night, and he definitely played well enough for us to win.
Whenever you guys both got the ball to start, felt like you guys both moved the ball up and down the field. Offenses really didn't struggle much in the first quarter, but your defense kind of settled in as it went into the second quarter and towards the halftime break. What adjustments did you guys make defensively, if at all, to kind of take North Knox out of that first drive where they ran the ball? I think it was 11 out of 12 times.
Yeah, and they ended up running the ball like 63 times on the night, but we knew that's what they were going to do, and you can tell your guys all week, hey, this is what they're going to run, this is how they're going to do it, this is how you got to play it. But for some reason, our guys have to go out there and they kind of have to see it and sort it out that first drive. And, you know, we saw that in the opener against Southridge where they went right down the field and scored on us. You know, Tecumseh, you know, Brett Beaker picks off a quick one with Tecumseh, so we didn't have that situation. But they're a tough team to play against. It's a wing tee style where they really create blocking angles and they're pulling guys. And if you're not disciplined, your eyes start trying to figure out where the ball's at and looking at the motions and everything, when really the key is where their guards are going, their H-back's going. You know, we had some guys that did a really good job of doing that, and some other guys struggled to adjust. But, you know, we were able to kind of bend, not break in the first half, got some stops when we needed to. But they wore us down, I think, in the second half, and our D-linemen were getting pushed around a little bit, and that was kind of the difference in the game.
I know it seems obvious because you guys scored on your opening possession to really open up the ball game, but how did you feel about the energy this week compared to the week 2 against Tecumseh?
It was good, but, you know, the problem we continue to have, it's like we just get complacent or we get satisfied. You know, we came out, good opening drive, second drive was another good drive. I went back, when you watch film, the first time they forced us to give them the ball back was in the fourth quarter. I mean, we had a fumble in the first half, but other than that, we had scored on every drive up until the fourth quarter. You know, we need to convert touchdowns and not field goals sometimes, but at the same time, we're putting together good drives, moving the ball, eating clock, taking care of the football. And we just got complacent where, you know, those we weren't finishing runs, we weren't finishing blocks. Our protection broke down a couple of times. It's just terrible times in the game. That seems to be when we do make mistakes, is just at the worst possible time. And when you do that, I told our guys at halftime, you're going to let them hang around and they're going to beat you. Because right now I can tell we're just satisfied. We're satisfied being up when we should be up 3 scores at halftime. We're up 5 points and we're satisfied. And I was worried at halftime that we had gotten satisfied.
So whenever you go into the second half, and I'm trying to remember exactly around the time it was. I think it was around 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They had cut it to 6. You guys get the ball back, and you're in a position where if you go down and at least get 3 points, you're making it a 2-possession game and probably put the game away. And I want to say you guys had a 2nd and 1 after a long Brett Beaker run, and then I think you ran a bubble screen to Remy Johnson, which ended up going for a loss. Was there anything about that sequence that you either want back, or was it something you saw that had been working for you that you trusted your guys and it just didn't happen?
We trust our guys on that bubble screen. We just missed a block. I mean, we had seen some things on film at halftime that how they were rolling and doing some things. And, you know, they adjusted to Dylan being back, and they were double-teaming him on one side, and they were leaving us one-on-one to that three-receiver side. And we felt like with the angle that the guy had to, that was guarding Remy, if we could pick off the other two, that we can get him around the edge, and we could. And we slipped and missed a block and put us in a bad situation. But the third down play was miscommunication. You know, what people have to understand is, you know, Brett Beaker still learned how to play running back, and he had a pretty good night. You know, I think he was over 100 yards for the second time. But he's not built yet to carry the ball 35 times. So you're trying to manage your run game by supplementing with quick short passes and bubble screens and things like that. And those are things that we feel confident with. You know, like I said, Carter Schickel starts the game 9 for 9. You know, bubble screens for us are just a long handoff. Mm-hmm. You know, wide receiver screens, just a long handoff. We consider that part of our run package. And Brett was getting tired, wore down, and, you know, so we knew we couldn't just ride him for 8 straight, 9 straight carries. Cole Kissel had been playing a ton of defense, trying to stop that run game, and he was gassed. So, you know, if we had Cade Mauch right now, it would have been an issue, right? We just ride our workhorse and we go. But with the injuries we've been battling, and some of the guys were even playing injured, that we had to adjust some things a little bit different. So you got to go to your personnel. And I think 9 times out of 10, we the bubble screen gets the first down. Mm-hmm. But it didn't. You live and learn, and you go on, try to get a stop, and then. You know, when they did take the lead, we had a chance to drive down the field, and we made a few. That was where we had a breakdown in pass pro that put us in a bad situation. And like I said, we played really well offensively. I think our O-line had a good game. We just make mistakes in the wrong time. And whether it be Brett's fumble, whether it be miscommunication between a quarterback wide receiver, whether it be miscommunication on a pass pro, we didn't make many mistakes, but when we made the mistakes, it was at the worst possible time, and that cost you a football game.
You had Dylan Murphy back after missing week 2. I had him unofficially, I think, at like 15 targets. I mean, it was clear he seemed like he was a focal point of the game plan for you offensively.
We went in the game thinking he was going to take 15 snaps, honestly. You know, he had practiced limited throughout the week. He's still nursing an injury. He warmed up, told me he felt good. He went up and caught a pass in warm-ups and said, I feel good, and I said, well, we're gonna put you out there. We're gonna use you as a decoy for a little bit, and we get down inside the red zone. We'll, you know, jump ball. Your size is gonna be a problem for him, and that was kind of how we planned on using him as a decoy, use him in short yard situations or jump ball situations. And once he had that touchdown catch, he's like, Coach, I feel good. So we got it. I said, you know, every possession, I look at him, you good? Yep. And he just kept wanting to play. He's such a competitor. He wanted to be on the field. And you know, I was torn because there were times where I looked out there and I'm like, man, Murphy's got a matchup we can exploit. But I knew at the time there was only certain things I could do with him. And I didn't want to risk, you know, him re-aggravating an injury that could potentially linger into these next 4 conference games where we really need him, where the games matter the most. And so we were strategic about how we used him. And the next thing I know, they're checking to a deep ball and he's trying to go downfield. So, the good thing about it, he came out of that thing without re-aggravating anything. Feels good today at practice, and you know, I think he'll have no restrictions going into Friday night.
Will you answer my next question, because I was going to ask how he was feeling. How is the team in general feeling at this point of the season? You're a few weeks in. I know you're not super deep into the year, but you mentioned guys being banged up a bit.
We're probably healthier now going into this week, knock on wood, than we've been you know, since the beginning of the season, getting some guys back, getting some guys that have been nursing some injuries and playing through them. I feel a lot better. And that's key. I mean, we're young. As much depth as we do have, it's all young depth. So, you know, when a sophomore goes down, you go to a freshman. Or when a junior goes down, you go to a sophomore. So we're young, and these guys are getting valuable experience. But kids like, you know, Camden Clowers stepped up huge Friday night. I think he led our team in tackles. He had a couple big wide receiver screens that we would typically run to Dylan. But we didn't want to put him out there in that situation with the screen. So we went with Camden. And he just continues to show us he's a gamer. Davin Sullivan had a big catch and played really good at defensive back, who's a kid that is only a sophomore getting his first varsity action. You know, so every week new guys are starting to emerge. A kid, Matthew Wills, a kid we've never talked about, who's a freshman linebacker, who he's probably going to play a lot next Friday because he just continues to play really well at the JV level, continues to step up in situations in practice. And as a head coach, you know, you shouldn't think he's a freshman. He's a freshman, but at some point, you can't ignore the production he's having in practice and in JV games. And if other guys aren't going to step up and play, he wants that job, and he's going to get an opportunity this Friday.
Remember last year, you tell me on one of the coaches' shows that you wrote on the back of your, I guess, your play sheet, and it said trust the freshman.
Yep.
So I think that you still have to give yourself that reminder every once in a while, even though they're young, they're still capable.
Yeah, and that's hard. I mean, when you look out there, and you know, it's kind of our joke when you walk out of practice, all the moms are pulling up in their minivans to pick up our guys who are our studs on our football team right now because none of them have driver's license. But, you know, we finally got a quarterback who's got a driver's license, and last year he was getting picked up. But we are, you know, our skill guys, and like I said, we had 430 yards of offense last game, and zero of that came from seniors. You know, week one against Southridge, again, we had like 390 yards of offense. None of that came from seniors. And That's a great thing for the future, but right now you have to kind of, you know, the growing pains a little bit of those young guys will drive you nuts sometimes, but you got to remind yourself, man, these kids are still learning, continue to make the investment in these guys, and but I forget sometimes that Dylan Murphy's a sophomore, Remy Johnson's a sophomore, and Camden Clowers is a freshman, and you can go up and down the list. These are a bunch of young kids that are playing huge minutes for us and playing pretty well.
Well, going back to your point earlier about how you felt like there were opportunities you guys missed or you had an opportunity to really put that game away, I said it on the air that I think the biggest learning point from this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, I feel like it's going to be a situation where these kids are now going to learn that you can't leave the game in the hands of the officials. You have to go out and finish the job yourself. They had plenty of opportunities, and it just didn't happen, which is okay.
100%. Yeah, and that's what – we're not making excuses, you know. I said it 100 times. People have asked me about the missed opportunity to kick a field goal there at the end of the half. And I said, you know, we should have scored 24 more points. And if we scored 24 more points based on the opportunities we did have, nobody's talking about that missed field goal. And, you know, if we connect on the play before that, make the right read, make the right throw, nobody's talking about that missed time on the field goal. So we're not going to make excuses. We're going to move on. We're going to use this as a learning experience and kind of motivate us going forward that – I think part of our problem is we've gotten so used to winning, and when winning happens a lot, and I think, you know, our program has won, you know, at some point it was like 23 out of the last 28 games or something like that, you become entitled to winning, and winning is hard, and that's what we keep trying to preach to our kids. I don't care who you play against, every Friday night the other team's prepared, their other coaching staff's prepared, you know, they're playing for their community, they want to show up for and have a statement win. And North Posey right now is a statement win for people, especially, you know, the 1A, 2A schools that are on our schedule. We have been, for the last couple of years, a top 10 team in the state. And we're a statement win, and everybody that we show up to, I mean, you saw North Knox celebrate. They celebrated like they won a sectional title and they won a non-conference game. But our guys have earned the right to be a big game because they've played really well over the last 3 or 4 years. And we got to get used to that. We're going to get everybody's best shot. And that's, you know, some people look at that as, oh, man, that's tough. But, no, we look at it as we've earned that right to get everybody's best shot. And that's what we want.
Well, I think it's exactly what you want is you want to have maybe not the target on your back, but you want to have the kids understand that everyone's going to give you your best shot every single Friday night, and you can't take any moment for granted. So let's step away for a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the impending Week 4 matchup against Tell City. It'll be a big one for the PAC Small School Division Conference Championship potentially down the line. But don't go anywhere. You're listening to North Posey Football Coaches Show live from North Posey High School on 98.9 WPIW.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
At Crane Credit Union, we listen to our members and do our best to provide the products and services they want and need. With our personal one-on-one banking and our convenient state-of-the-art technology, your money is always at your fingertips, leaving more time for the things you really care about. Crane Credit Union. It matters to us because it matters to you. Learn more at cranecu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else and visit us 24/7 at expressway chevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
When you need to clear up some space at home, store things that matter the most, or need an area to keep your business's materials and inventory, turn to Posey Storage in Poseyville. They've got storage units to fit about any need, with four sizes to choose from, including 5x12, 10x12, 10x24, and extra large 12x35-foot units. Need room for a boat, RV, or camper? They have you covered with both indoor and outdoor options. And renting couldn't be any easier. Call them at 812-622-1626, rent online at PoseyStoragePV.com, or stop by and use a convenient rental kiosk on site. Plus, with security cameras around the property, your stuff stays protected. Posey Storage, your local storage solution at 128 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
Nix Industrial is hiring. Voted one of Indiana's best places to work in manufacturing, Nix Industrial is a metal fabrication, coatings, and gear and machining company located in Poseyville, Indiana. Are you looking for a stable career where the employer truly cares? At Nix Industrial, we are always searching for talented team members to join our growing business. If you are interested in competitive pay and benefits, overtime opportunities, and working for a family-oriented company, we encourage you to apply today on our website, nixindustrial.com.
When you're ready to tackle your next home improvement project, look no further than JT's Hardware, your one-stop shop on Main Street in Poseyville. JT's Hardware has everything you need to get the job done right. From tools to paint, plumbing to electrical, and fasteners to lumber, they've got you covered. And the staff is always ready to lend a helping hand and offer helpful advice. So don't wait. Head to JT's Hardware today and make your home improvement dreams a reality. JT's Hardware, your local partner in home improvement, located on Main Street in Poseyville.
You count on your car every day, so keep it looking sharp at Billy's Sparkle and Shine in Poseyville. A clean car doesn't just turn heads, it feels better to drive. Billy's has a touchless automatic bay for a quick and easy wash, two self-serve bays if you're hands-on, and four powerful vacuums to freshen up your interior. If you're tackling summer bugs, the front bug sweep pass on the Ultimate Package can clean up that mess too. And for businesses, fleet accounts make regular cleanups a breeze. So stop by Billy's Sparkle and Shine today at 140 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville and give your car the care it deserves.
At Expressway Jeep, we're more than a dealership. We're your trusted Jeep service experts. Whether it's maintenance, repairs, or upgrades, our certified technicians know your Jeep inside and out. Convenient scheduling, expert care, and fast service keep your Jeep running like new. Expressway Jeep wants to be the go-to for Jeep service in Southern Indiana. Call 812-831-3333 or book online at expressway jeep.com. Just a short drive away from you, Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Since 1916, J.L. Hirsch Company Grocery and Department Store has been servicing the people of Posey County. Whether you're looking for clothing, jewelry, or stocking up on groceries, it's all at J.L. Hirsch Company. And don't forget about the renowned meat department with the best cuts of meat for miles around. Get your North Posey Spirit Wear at J.L. Hirsch as well. J.L. Hirsch Grocery and Department Store, a Posey County tradition for over 100 years. Open 8 until 5:30 Monday through Saturday. J.L. Hirsch Company, on Main Street in Poseyville. When it's time for maintenance on your vehicle, make the right choice and visit Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center. No matter the make or model, they have the right parts at the right price.
Let the knowledgeable staff help you find exactly what you need for the job. If you don't want to deal with the mess yourself, then let the Poseyville Service Center take care of you where there's no job too big. Stop in at 39 West Main Street in Poseyville or call 812-874-3113. Open Monday through Friday from 8 until 5 and Saturdays from 8 until noon. Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, your one-stop shop for everything automotive.
If you're looking to breathe new life into your worn-out asphalt, you need Smith's Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance, a family-owned and operated business you can trust. Their team specializes in sealing and maintaining asphalt, making old driveways and parking lots look brand new. With fair prices and a commitment to quality, they're the ones you can rely on. Visit them on Facebook and give them a call for a free quote today. Call 812-228-9651 for Smith's Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance. Trust in family. Trust in quality. Trust Smith's.
GAF of Mount Vernon, North America's premier roofing and waterproofing manufacturer, proudly supports Posey County football with the mission to protect what matters most. GAF builds unmatched strength, safety, and innovation, qualities that inspire champions on and off the field. GAF is honored to stand alongside our community and cheer on the Wildcats and Vikings players as they leave it all on the field this season. Here's to a safe, successful, and unforgettable season with pride and support from your friends at GAF.
You work hard to play hard, so protect your investment with a truck liner, textured coatings, or powder coatings from Rugged Armor Linings in Poseyville. Offering professional applications to protect your vehicles, RVs, off-road vehicles, and boat interiors against heat, scratches, dents, rock chips, and fading. 16 colors available. For an estimate, contact Paul Edwards by appointment only at 812-457-2415. Again, that's 812-457-2415. Rugged Armor Linings, 129 West Fletchell in Poseyville. Your dealer for B&W Hitch and Rough Country Accessories.
Welcome back to the North Posey Football Coaches Show, live from North Posey High School with Head Coach Waylon Shank. I'm Jordan Fisher, and getting ready to go for week four as the Tell City Marksmen will come to town, the second home game of the season for your Vikings after opening the year against Southridge with a 28-27 victory, a chance to, as we kind of talked about, maybe take control over the PAC small school division. A big win against Tell City would certainly position you to kind of run the table or be in position to run the table later on throughout the rest of the season. But last year, it was a 34-14 victory up there at Tell City. The Terry Twins are gone. The starting quarterback is gone. There's a lot of changes there for Coach Malin Webb, but I think you're still certainly expecting a lot from this Tell City offense.
Yeah, this has become, you know, somewhat of a rivalry game for us. You know, whether it be, you know, I think it kind of started with wrestling and then built into football with the two schools. And you know, Coach Webb does a good job. I got a lot of respect for him and his staff. They're good guys and they do things the right way, and they, you know, they coach their kids up, and they're a fun group of guys to be around. But, man, they got a good, and I know the Terry boys are gone, and you know, they're kind of similar to us. With us, it was Jed Galvin and Liam Stone for so many years, and, you know, for them, it was the Terry twins. And those guys leaving sometimes is a benefit to the program, you know, because it allows some of these other guys who have kind of been hidden to step up. The Case Bowl kid's a really good running back. You know, he's one of the top backs in our conference. You know, their quarterback is a real smooth athlete that, you know, is fast and will finish his runs with some power. And they've switched their offense up completely to build around those kids. You know, they've got more skill guys than I think they've had in terms of depth. They got some receivers who can run. They got a big offensive line, but they're going to run some zone read, option type things. And, their quarterback does a really good job running their system.
I think one of the unique challenges that you and every other head coach has when it comes to high school football, especially at a smaller school like you in Tell City, is that you might have a scheme in mind that you want to run, but you have to match the personnel you have. And like you mentioned, the last couple of years, it was Liam Stone and Jed Galvin a lot. And of course, last year with Carter Schickel kind of in the fold as a sophomore, you went more of just like lean on Jed in the running game. And this year now with Carter as a quarterback junior, and you don't have as many running backs, now you guys have, you know, morphed into a passing offense. And I think that speaks volumes to how, one, difficult it is for you and other coaches, but also, two, a testament to the amount of work you guys all put in on a weekly and yearly basis.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you don't get a recruit, you know, to your system.
No.
Not at the high school level. So, you've got to adapt to the personnel you have and the kids that you have in your program. And, you know, we definitely want to have an identity here, and we want to be able to play some smash mouth football. And Brett Beaker's given us the ability to continue to do that with Kate out a little bit. But, you know, we've definitely evolved the passing game. And when your strengths at wide receiver and quarterback, that's what you got to do. And I think Tell City's doing the same thing. You know, they've always been that under center wing tee, you know, veer option type stuff and jet sweep and rocket motion and all those things that they've done in the past. But Coach Webb's done a good job of looking at what he has, and he's got a pretty sporty quarterback back there who's got an arm and is developing as a passer, but, man, he can really hurt you as a runner. The K-Spo kid, the system really fits him, what they're running. He's a downhill runner, you know, that gives him that ability to run some inside zone, some power. With the quarterback's option to pull off that, and that's kind of been their bread and butter going in the first three games, and they're lighting up the scoreboard, so it's going to be a big challenge for our defense.
How much more of a challenge is it for you and the coaching staff whenever you have a team like Tell City, for example, changing up their entire offensive scheme based on their personnel? Because you can't really look at the previous years. You might have some concepts that carry over, but you really only have a three-game sample size to go off of right now, a film.
Yeah, you take the three games you got, and you know, you try to relate them to teams you've played in the past, and just kind of develop a game plan, what's worked for us against these spread zone read teams in the past, and you just kind of rely on the experience you've had there, and you know, not try to reinvent the wheel too much, but stick with what your kids know, stick with what your kids are successful at, and you know, they're going to remind you a lot of. Probably like Southridge, where their quarterback is wanting to run before he throws. Capable thrower, but definitely want to run the ball. Probably not the power back that we saw week one in their quarterback, but, man, he's definitely good in space. And then a similar runner that we saw week one with Southridge. You're going to see the same thing on the K-Spo kid. Very physical, big offensive line. They're young and inexperienced, but, man, they're big and physical, and they get after you. So hopefully we can match the physicality in the trenches, and we're going to have to do a lot better job this Friday night than we did last Friday night stopping the run.
Now, defensively, you've seen, or I guess I should say offensively, you've seen Coach Webb's defense philosophies. I'm sure that doesn't change nearly as much. Probably easier to plug and play there. But what have you seen from Tell City, or what are you expecting from Tell City that you need to have your offense prepared for week?
They've been a 3-4 team in the first three games we've seen, and they've brought a lot of pressure. Their linebackers are real close to the line of scrimmage. Their outside backers are walked up. You know, I don't know that we'll see that. We might. But at the same time, I think a lot of people are starting to worry about our pass game. And do you leave your corners on an island with the guys that we have out there, or do you drop everybody in coverage? And we've got to make those adjustments. And I think we did that Friday up at North Knox. I mean, early on in the game, they started getting out of the box. We just started running some inside A-gap power stuff, and Brett was breaking some long ones. And it's kind of a chess match. You know, how are they going to adjust to what we're doing? And then once we adjust to that, how do they make the adjustment from there? And, you know, it's just back and forth. And with two good teams, a lot of times it comes down to, like I said, who can finish drives, who makes the least mistakes. It's going to be a really good game Friday night.
I think to your point, you a few times went five wide and then sent Beaker on like an orbit motion into a power type of run out of basically a shotgun trip set. That probably helped a little bit with getting the offense or the defense a little bit off balance.
Yeah, sometimes you got to trick Brett into he's a wide receiver, and then you motion him handing the ball, and he doesn't realize he's, you know. But no, Brett's pretty athletic and smart and is capable of doing so many different things. And, you know, we like seeing, okay, we're five wide, how are they going to adjust? And if they adjust by taking everybody out of the box, we'll just motion Brett there and hand him the ball. And we'll do that a little bit more as some guys have gotten healthy. It won't just be Brett. You know, we can motion Murphy. We can motion Remy. You know, Brody Faines is capable of doing so many different things. He's a smart football player. And you're going to start seeing Lane Young work in there as he's kind of progressed as a running back that can get in there and do some things for us too. But, you know, we got to keep getting creative and creative on how to supplement our passing game with the run. And, you know, last week at North Knox, I think we were able to, you know, we were up around the 150-yard mark. We were able to do that against Southridge. And like I said, you got to get creative because we don't have that true 35-carry, you know, power back that we've had in the last multiple years with Colton Gardner and Jed Galvin. But at the same time, man, Brett Beaker's getting better every week. Lane Young's progressing every week. Cole Kissel's starting to learn that he's not just a linebacker. He can play a little running back. And as our receivers get healthy, it really challenges the defense. Do you Do you double team Murphy? Do you double team Remy? Do you double team Brody Fain, who's quietly
having a great
really big season? And if you leave those guys one on one, we feel confident the Carter will find them. But then if you empty the box, you know Brett's only going to get better as the season goes on.
So now that you go into week four, I know the first game of the year we talked about how you're just wanting everything to go well as far as from a really just a school standpoint of trying to get the game to actually operate. Is there anything big planned for week four for the second home game of the season?
Man, I don't think so. Not that anybody's told me anyways. I mean, there's times I find out Thursday afternoon that there's all kinds of stuff going on. But, I think we've got this home game, and then we'll get into homecoming and senior mm-hmm. nights and as we go through there. And I know there's a lot of reunions planned and things like that. But I'm hoping, as the AD head football coach right now, that there's not a whole lot planned outside of the football game this Friday because we're going to have our hands full. We really need to focus on the game.
Now, come Thursday at 12 o'clock, that might be a different story for you then.
Yeah, I just kind of roll with, hey, whatever works, whatever makes everybody happy, we'll try it at least once.
We operate kind of the same way. Just right. Kind of whatever kind of works, just make it happen.
Yep.
So we will have a football broadcast at 7 o'clock Central Time kickoff, correct?
Kickoff, yep.
So we'll have a pregame show at 6:45. You'll be able to listen to it. If you can't make it out here in North Posey, certainly come out to Joe Jingle Ball Field. Support these kids. Support this team. But you can join us on the radio at 98.9 WPIW. We'll have a pregame show at 6:45. Kickoff will be at 7. We will be doing the video stream once again, and I've got that kind of spearheaded now. We had a couple mishaps with the Bluetooth connection, but we'll have a hardwired connection now to our camera, so shouldn't have any signal dropping. But you'll be able to join myself and Chris Moreland for the call. Hoping to see a lot of people out here on Friday night, which should be hopefully a great night, atmosphere-wise and also temperature-wise. We're starting to get into fall weather, and it certainly feels like football weather.
Yeah, we're finally there.
Well, thank you, Coach, and good luck this week. Certainly not going to hold you much longer as you got the JV team out there playing right now, and certainly sure you want to see some of those kids and yep. see how they're doing. But this has been the latest edition of the North Posey Football Coaches Show. We'll talk to you on Friday night when Tell City visits North Posey. You've been listening to North Posey Football Coaches Show live from North Posey High School. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Nick's Industrial, Expressway Chevrolet, GAF, Billy Sparkle and Shine, JT's Hardware, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, J.L. Hirsch & Company, Rugged Armor Linings, and Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance. Keep up to date with North Posey Sports on your home of the Vikings, 98.9 WPIW and PoseyCountyRadio.com.